Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Thank you, Father God. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Hallelujah. Let's settle into the Word. Those of you at home, make sure you are settled. Grab a cup of tea and sit in one place so that we may share from the Word of God today. And hear what he has for us in store, in the name above every other name. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we assemble at your table, Lord, we pray that you will feed us with your bread until we want no more. Let your spirit, Father, Lord, flow smoothly. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Remove every barriers, remove every distraction, remove every king of kings, every spirit of destruction in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. King of kings, I pray that you will anoint my tongue to speak your oracles, my Father, Lord. Enter my brain and take over, King of kings. Let me just be your mouthpiece, my Father. Let somebody be touched. Let somebody be healed in this house and online. And one that will watch tomorrow, the other day, let them be healed and touched. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. I'm just going to ask you this today. Just give me a little bit of some time so that we can dig deeper into this. Hallelujah. Is that okay? Anyway. Hallelujah. Today, I want to speak about a subject I've called Alive to God. We are alive to God. Thank God for the resurrection. We are alive to God. Hallelujah. I want to start with dispelling a crazy idea that some people have, thinking that Jesus Christ did not die. Some people say Jesus did not die, that he just fainted. And when he was put in that tomb, the cool of the breeze, you know, just warmed, it cooled him up, and then he came back to his senses. That is not true. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, died. Hallelujah. But he did not stop from there. He rose again. The death and the resurrection, the suffering, death on the cross is the most significant event in the Bible. Set apart, because the one that we follow is not dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. Amen. You missed a very, very, very good part where to clap. Hallelujah. Now you are clapping as if it's you who died on that cross. Come on. Appreciate him. Appreciate him. Listen, somebody once said Christianity begins where we had high priests. It was religion. But religion could not secure salvation. Christianity begins where what? Where religion ends. Hallelujah. And religion ends with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Christianity is not cheap. Christianity is not cheap. The Christianity that we worship, you know, this coming here and worshiping and being able to stand before our God and on us, those guys who lived before us, they envy us because they didn't have this chance. For them to appear in the... None of them dared ever enter into the Holy of Holies. Once in a year, it was the chief, the high priest who would go there for them. Once in a year. Anywhere. But that did not come cheap. Christianity is not cheap. It cost a life. The Son of God had to suffer many things. He had to suffer many things. But thank God that he triumphed over death. Of death. Hallelujah. His resurrection marked the what? The death of death. Death died when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And today we celebrate the death of death. Hallelujah. One day, during the French Revolution, a young man approached the bishop and said, "This Christianity religion, what is it about?" And then he said, would it not be easy for someone to start one like it? The bishop looked at him and said, oh yeah. However, one would have to get crucified, die, and rise again from on the third day in order to start that. This is not something that you just start. Jesus Christ actually died. It happened. Hallelujah. And I know it happened because he's alive in me. I am alive in him. Hallelujah. There is an empty tomb to testify to that. We know that in Egypt we have got the famous pyramids. Get on a plane and go to Egypt, you'll find them there. The pyramids are there. Our brothers, the Muslims, they worship Muhammad, the prophet. They say, you know, Muhammad's tomb is in Jerusalem. In my lifetime, I don't have to because people go to Jerusalem, you know, just to you know, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. But I don't have to because he's here. Hallelujah. He is here. There are many cemeteries around, many famous ones. The Arlington Cemetery in America, which, you know, we know that the last time I checked. As a matter of fact, he was cremated. And Ashok, the Indian, the emperor of India, distributed his ashes in minute portions to 84,000 shrines all over India. It is centered around its living Lord. And that's why we celebrate him. Hallelujah. Our Lord is alive. Why? The garden tomb is empty. After giving up his life, he gave up his life on the cross, as we shall see later. He did not need a grave. He did not need a grave. In those days, people had to buy graves themselves, prepare for their funerals. They had to buy. Hallelujah. In his plans, there was nothing like staying dead. That's why he had to borrow one from who? From Joseph of Arimathea. It was a borrowed grave, as we sang in that song. Borrowed. Because he had triumphed. He was going to triumph over death. The tomb speaks. The tomb of Jesus speaks. He's not here. He's alive. He's not here. The empty tomb, somebody said, has a message for the disciples. We are his guide to explain it. Philosophy. You know, all sorts of wisdom have come together to try and explain this event, but they cannot explain it. History says repeat it. Who can repeat it? It cannot be repeated. Hallelujah. It cannot be faked. It cannot be reconstructed. You cannot blot it out. That's why we every April, whatever, we come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord. You can never erase it from Christianity. And it says to faith, believe it. Believe this event. That's why we are here. We could have survived the cross. No one could have survived the ordeal that Jesus went through. It started in the Garden of Gethsemane. Hallelujah. That evening, that night, he says, my heart is so sorrow. My soul is so sorrowful, even unto death. He was wrestling with the idea of becoming sin. He underwent spiritual trauma. So much so that he tried to solicit for intercessors to stand with him. He calls his inner circle. Please, guys, stand with me. This is killing me. This is too much. And he began to wrestle with the Father and saying, Lord, is there no other way to save this man, Reuben? Is there no other way? Must this happen? Because he is God. Events of the following days. He knew. He could see the pain. He said, this cup is too much, Father. Can't you take it away? If it is possible, take this cup away. For three times he prayed, he interceded, he imploded the Lord. But the Bible says that heavens was silent. I think one of the evangelists says that he prayed until he began to sweat. Under immense pressure. The capillaries under your skin have got the capacity to burst and begin to bring drops of blood. The Bible says that an angel came and strengthened him. He needed strength because of what he was about to go through. He needed strength. And after he realized that there was no other way, that's when Judah, let's get on with this. He had the capacity to run away because the disciples did run away. Remember that man who said, I will never leave you alone? The man Peter says, well, no, even if it is this, I will be with you. I think he was among the first people to run away. So there are some people who will say, my sister, I have got your back. My brother, I have got your back. But when the rubber hits the road, they are the first people to run away. You will not. I think you have seen some of them, haven't you? Concern them. So he's paraded before the Sanhedrin. He's paraded before Caiaphas. He's paraded before the high priest. And then the physical trauma begins, ladies and gentlemen. The physical trauma begins. Mandere broshikara braseterebe. As the high priest is asking him, are you the king of the Jews? He is silent. He remains silent. And because he remains silent, one of the soldiers comes and strikes him in the face. He remains silent. You know, he remains silent. He could have argued his case, but he said, you know what? I am on a mission to die for this man called Reuben. I am on a mission. They blindfolded him, struck him again. Taunted him to identify who has struck him. I want you to picture all this. I want us to get into the pages of the Bible and relive this, so that we may know the enormity of what Jesus Christ did for us and why we celebrate today. All this was happening. This was happening all night. It's a man who's tired. A man who has prayed like crazy in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's not eating. He's not drinking anything. He's just being tormented. The next morning they parade him, uttered, bruised, exhausted Jesus Christ, dehydrated Jesus Christ, is being dragged across the town to stand before Pilate. The Son of Man, the King of Kings, is being paraded to stand before men, an idea, standing before people whom you have authority over, and just begin, you know, not taking your position. Because if you are taking his position, he would have called the angels and they would have smitten all these guys. But he, like a sheep that is being taken for slaughter, he is quiet. Do you know why? Because he had you in mind. Pontius Pilate orders him to be flogged. Flogging, this is what would happen. There would be a pole like this one, and they would tie the victim around this pole, exposing his back, because that's where the lashes were gonna come. We're gonna go. You know, by his stripes we are healed. We just quote that scripture without knowing the enormity of what happened on that day. They would have stripped him of his clothes, and just the back would remain bare. And these Romans, I'm not talking about the way they whipped. They were not just using sticks. There was a leather whip, which was interlaced with small pieces of bone and metal attached to a number of leather strands. You understand what I'm saying? Metal and bones, many of them. Now the flogging begins. Now they would not bring men like me to whip him. And whenever this man would swing this whip, it would land onto the skin and it would dig into the skin because of the bones and because of the glass and the metal. And whenever he would bring it back, it would come back with the flesh of the victim. How many lashes are those? The Bible says 39 lashes. Or the teacher is going to punish you and you would put books in your bum, you know. Just, I'm not talking about those kinds of lashes. This one, the back is bare. The blows would continue to cut into the deeper, into the subcontinuous tissues, producing first an oozing of blood from the capillaries and then the veins, and finally spewing out arterial bleeding. That's the picture there, as you can see there. Just look at that whip. And that's Jesus Christ there. That's how Jesus was. and then it would begin to reveal the underlying muscles, and as this small bit, some organs would begin to be exposed. The skin on his back, by the end of the 39 lashes, it was just like ribbons. The entire back could not be recognized. And as he was, every lash represented a disease, represented cancer, by his stripes, we are healed. He endured all of that. I'm talking about the Son. I'm talking about God. God being whipped by man. When this centurion dogging would stop because they would want to finish it at the cross, at cross. And remember, these things will happen towards Passover. So these centurions would want this thing to get over with it quickly, so they can go to their families and eat and drink. So they would have inflicted serious damage on our Lord, on that pole, and all of that he was silent, because he was thinking of you and I. They would mock him. They would crown him with thorns. Crown of thorns, as Apostle Jesus was telling us earlier. And we're not talking about just roses when we talk about thorns. We're talking about thorns that are about 1 or 2 inches long. The gospel says that the Romans thorns into his scalp and caused the forehead to start bleeding. And in mockery, they clothed him with scarlet. Oh, you are the king. Oh, you are a king. Now you are a king of yours. Receive the crown. Receive the crown. And this is royalty. Put on the scarlet. As if that was not enough, he begins the way of suffering. The way of suffering, that's the journey from that pole to Calvary, to Golgotha. So they would lead him. He is now forced to carry a crossbar on his shoulders, a crossbar on which he's going to be crucified, called the patibul. I don't know whether, and 110 pounds in weight, very heavy. Remember, this is a man who suffered in Gethsemane. He suffered before the high priest. He suffered before Pilate. He has been flogged. By this time, he does not even have the energy. And as the moment, the more he stumbles under its weight, remember, he's putting it on his shoulder, it begins to dig deeper into the wounds that have been inflicted on him. Like I said again, the centurion, because he was anxious to get to this crucifixion and get it over with, that's why they said, is there somebody who can help this man so that we get out of this place quickly? And you know whom they picked? Whom did they pick? Simon. The final thing begins. And these guys began to drive nails into our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. I'm not talking about these nails that you buy in B&Q or Selco. These were 7-inch spatula, and they will begin to drive these spikes in his wrists. Near the median vein, the median nerve. Have you ever knocked your elbow onto something? And every block, it would send shock waves of pain. They had to invent a word to describe it. The word is excruciating. The word means the nails. I want you to hear the nails. I want you to hear that the spike. Pack, chuck, chuck, chuck. Hear them. After they had finished the feet, they would go to the legs, the hands rather. They would go to the feet, and the same process would begin. After that, they would erect him vertically. All these have been archaeologically proven. There's a guy whom they found, who was crucified. They found him in pieces of the wood from which the cross, where he was crucified. So as he's being held vertically, there's untold pain, untold held position. making it difficult for him to excel. Because you have any living person, you've got to inhale and exhale. So because he's dying of lack of air, he will begin to push himself up so that he can exhale. And listen, the more he pushes up, guess what is happening to the feet? They are getting torn and torn because of those nails. And this is a process that would continue for a long hours. The crucifixion, death at the cross would last about from 2 to 4 hours. So that's why they would go around and break people's legs so that they die quickly. Because this process would take long. I just want to get out of this place. So with the passing of time, our Lord would have lost much blood. He would be in lack of oxygen. His body would begin to suffer severe cramps and spasmodic contractions. Jesus, he beat. And that very hour, something happens. The Father abandons him. At that very moment, Jesus Christ becomes sin. The Father cannot even dare look at him. He turned him more than even the pain he was going through. That spiritual pain of feeling abandoned became too much for him, that he began to cry to the Father. When an old man cried for daddy and mama. Father! Father, what is this? Was this in the plan? I think Jesus Christ was taken, I don't know. Very surprised in that moment. Why have you forsaken me? He cries, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Shallowness of breath was gathering in, and then he became very thirsty after that cry. And he asks for a drink. He says, I thirst. At that moment in the cross, he became all our sins. And they gave him vinegar on a stalk of hyssop. And you remember in Exodus chapter, the children of Israel were told to apply. Remember, they're giving him vinegar. At that very, on your heart, on my heart, on the door into your life. After that was done, he knew that it is paid the price, and look at me, I am the receipt. I have paid the price for this drunkard. I have paid the price for this fornicator. I have paid the price for that murderer, and I am the receipt right now. Then he gave up his spirit because nobody could take his life. Like the other guys whose legs were broken, his couldn't, because he just gave his life. So, the question is, if Jesus knew all this, why did he still go along with the death? Why? If it was me and I knew what was, I got a flash, of what's going to happen the next day, I would have taken off. I would have run away to the remotest village ever. But he came, he took him, he willingly participated in this. Before the high priest, before Pontius Pilate, he did not say a word. He did not defend himself at all. He willingly died. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, the Bible says, and the Lord God spoke and commanded to man, saying, you may eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat it, you shall what? You shall surely die. Shall surely die. Romans 6:23 says, for the wage of sin is what? Is death. Death. Because of sin, death crept in. Spiritual death, which led to a separation from God. Genesis chapter 3, we know that the Lord separated man. He pushed him out of the garden. There was a separation. And this is why Jesus Christ, and in that very moment, ladies and gentlemen, man died to God and he became alive to sin. Man died to God and he became alive to what? To sin. And that is why Jesus Christ, he says in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. There are many ways. There are many ways, but he says, I am the way. There are many truths, but he says, I am the truth. There are many lives, but he says, I am the life. No one comes. You just go and look it up on YouTube. He is the bridge. He came to bridge that gap. That's why he's enduring all that ordeal. John 10:10, he says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's what the enemy... Hallelujah. That sin in the Garden of Eden condemned man. But Jesus Christ came and said, you know what? I'm going to take their place. He became our of sin. He redeemed us. Buy a slave out of the slave market and free him. Not, you don't buy him to use him or to go and, you know, his precious blood and justified us. It's as if we have never sinned because of what Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 5:1 says, therefore, through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1, that's why you can come into church and worship. And at times, for us, some of us come into church or into the presence of God and we play around with that. That's why, my friend, you must never play around with any time that the Lord has been justified by faith. We have peace. On account of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We're going to come back to that. Romans 4:25 says, his resurrection was for our justification. If he had remained in the grave, can you imagine if he had remained in the grave? Wouldn't have been justified. But we are justified because he did not remain in the grave. He rose. He was raised for our justification. Today we celebrate our justification. Now if you are clapping to the Lord, make sure you are doing it. By his death, by his hands were met. We as believers were then granted the status of being back to him. We're going back to Romans 5. The outcome of our justification is that we have obtained peace. We have obtained peace through him, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have obtained access, verse 2. We have obtained access by faith. Before, we did not have access. After the Garden of Eden, that separation, there was no access. Today, we have got access, and some of us, we debate whether to go to worship or not. Guys, you are joking with what we have. You need to know the salvation that Jesus Christ gave us. The access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I stand here today by his grace. Not because I am holy. Not because I am perfect. But it's by his grace. You understand that? It's by his grace. And then he says, we rejoice in hope of glory of God. He bridged the gap. We have access which we did not have. And we are looking to a brighter and glorious future. Because, you remember the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 24-23, it says, for all have done what? Have sinned. And what happened? They have fallen short of the glory of God. Have received the hope of the glory of God. The hope which was, the deficit of our hope was filled by Jesus' resurrection. And then verse 3 takes it to another level. Verse 3. Not only that, now we rejoice in our sufferings. Jesus Christ lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow because I know that he lives. I rejoice in sufferings, knowing that my sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. We have hope. If you lack hope, you are dead. You do not die when you when you breathe your last breath. You die when you lose hope. So the resurrection, my friend, brought us hope. even in sickness, even in the grave, I know that he is Lord. We sing that song. Even in the grave, he is Lord. He is Lord everywhere. If death could not hold him captive, what are these situations that are around us? That's why Paul says, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If Jesus Christ, if God is on our side, who can be against us? Thank God for love. He loved us. Romans 5, 8, 6 to 8 says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, this was the right time. Romans 5, 6, when we were still weak, at the right time, God died for the ungodly. It says, for scarcely will one die for a righteous man. Though perhaps even for a good person, verse 7. But in verse 8 it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not wait. You know, he's not like you and I who wait for somebody to behave so that you can love him. He loved us anyway. He loved us anyway. Even now he loves you. I don't know how you may have messed. He still loves you. He still loves me. Do you understand that? Since therefore we have been what? Justified. Remember, justified. Justified is a key word, justified. I need to take back that home, to go back with that word. You are justified. We are justified through his blood. Through his blood. Through his blood. There had to be a shedding of blood. Through his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. We are just. We have been reconciled to him through Jesus Christ's death. And we'll be. 1 Corinthians 15, 14 says, and if Christ can, in verse 16, he continues to say, with the same chapter, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been. But verse 20, he says, no. But in fact, Christ has been what? Has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He is risen. He died so that I may live. He died so that you may live. Now listen. Listen. When he died, I want you to grasp this. All what we have spoken about from the Garden of Gethsemane up until it is died with all of us. All of us were in him on that cross. Therefore, since just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all did what? All sinned. 13. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Because the law exposes, sin. You know, when God created Adam, he was done. He created the billions and billions of people. All of them were locked in one man. All of them were in Adam. All of us were where? In Adam. That is into Adam. Every one of us were in Adam on that day when he created man. That's why a child who's born yesterday will be, that's what, as David says, I was all of us. He became the second Adam. We are all in him as he's going through Gethsemane. That's why he's fighting so hard, because he's carrying all. Are you getting it? So when he's being flogged, all of us are being flogged together. It's falling on him, but we are in there. He's covering us. Romans 6, 1 to 4 says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Because we're in that grace. We who are dead in sin, to sin, live in it. Because when Christ died to sin, we died to sin. We died with him. It says in verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, we have been done, what has happened? We have been baptized into Christ. We were baptized in his death. We were soaked in his death. We are immersed in his death. All of us, when he. Hallelujah. We were buried with him in death. And we certainly shall be reunited with him even in his resurrection. The King James Version says in verse 5, KJV in verse 5, give it to me in verse 5. I want you to listen to this. It says, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we have been what? Planted. To get that word, planted. We shall also in the likeness of his, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Planted. That word planted. That word buried. Buried. A grain of wheat to be buried in the soil. That's why in John chapter 12 verse 24 it says, truly, truly I said to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, much fruit is brought forth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 36 to 37 it says, you foolish person. 1 Corinthians 15, 36, 37. You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it what? It dies. Remember, we are dead to God and alive to sin. So he says, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. You plant an oak tree. What is the seed? Is it an acorn or what? An acorn tree. It's just a seed like this. But in that seed, there is power. There is a big tree. And now, Jesus Christ is the seed. He has got to be put in the soil. How do I know? Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise its heel, the seed. As his, remember, the Bible says we are planted with him. In that seed, Jesus Christ, all of us were in that seed. All of us were in that seed. When you come across people who are harvesting wheat, that's not the, what was planted was just one single grain. But in that single grain, there was a lot of all those other grains. So in the burial of Jesus Christ, he is the seed. And he's becoming that seed. And all of us are in that seed. We are being buried with him. So that when he rises from the dead, we are rising together with him. We were planted with him. Hallelujah. We are planted with him. So resurrection from the dead, my friend, is not just Jesus Christ resurrecting. It was you and me resurrecting. Resurrecting to what? To newness of life. Verse 4 in Romans chapter 6 verse 4. We were resurrecting to newness of life. The old died. The old died and the new began to arise. Jesus, the seed of the woman, he brings forth many branches. That's why we have got people from Sierra Leone. That's why I've got people from Rwanda. That's why I've got people from Uganda. All of us in one body. How did that happen? Just because that one seed was buried. It died and rose from the ground. Hallelujah. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, but the body of sin, give me the King James Version, that the body of being whipped, as is being put into the ground, it is being destroyed. What was being shredded was the body of sin. Hallelujah. That's why God had to forsake Jesus Christ, because at that very moment he was sin. The whole world was alive then. But it was alive to sin. But because of him, and those of us who have, those of our friends who have fallen asleep in him, because of him, we rose to newness of life. So what is happening is that the old body is being separated. The old body of sin is being separated from God. Get away. That's what's happening at Calvary. The body is being destroyed. It is being annulled. The Greek word is katerego. It's being rendered useless, of no effect. That's what's happening, my friend. That is why we should not serve sin anymore. Because the body of sin was crucified. Hallelujah. Romans 6:7. For one who has died has been set free from sin. He is dead. We are dead to sin. That's how we must be regarding sin. Romans 6:8. For now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We are dead. Verse 9. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, we will never die again. We will never die again. We will never die again. I say we will never die again. Death has no longer dominion over him. For the death he died to sin. For all. But the life he lives to God. He lives to God. When he rose from the dead, and guess what? When he rose from the dead, that very morning, you and I, we are with him. We are rising with him. We're rising with him. We are rising with him and becoming alive to God. We are coming alive to God. Amen. So the true essence, my friend, of resurrection is that you and I died to sin and we became alive to God. That's what bodies. Do not allow it to reign in your mortal bodies, to make you obey its passions. It says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been done what? But only your members must be instruments of righteousness to God. That is the true essence of the resurrection. Hallelujah. That is why he wants us to walk in the newness of life. And that's why that very morning, as the women in Mark chapter 16, as they were going to the tomb, they went to the tomb carrying spices. You know why they were carrying spices? They were carrying spices to embalm the body so that it does not stink. I can guarantee you, you do not need the spices anymore. You don't need the spices anymore because you are alive. You are alive to him. You are alive to him. You have been raised to a new life. You are no longer slaves to sin, but you are obedient from the heart to God's word. No longer slaves to righteousness. Rather slaves to righteousness, not slaves to sin. Slaves to righteousness and being sanctified in him. Hallelujah. The end thereof is eternal life. No more death. No more death, because death has been cancelled. Death has been cancelled. Death has been cancelled. Romans 6:20-23. For you were slaves to sin. For when you were slaves to sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness. But what fruit we were getting at that time from the things of which you were now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Verse 22, but now that you have been set is eternal life. The wages of sin are death. They were paid for by the pre-gift, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So number two, he gave us a new way of serving. According to Romans chapter 7, verse 4-6, it says, likewise, brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Bear fruit for who? For God. Verse 5 says, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Verse 6 is what I want. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we no longer serve that, but we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. We who were once dead in sin are no longer dead in sin, but we are alive to God because Jesus Christ died and he rose from the dead. Somebody shout hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I finish, a call to action, a call to action. I'm going to ask the musicians to come here. We're going to sing that song which you sang on Friday, Remember. Remember, we need to remember. Number one, you need to be in constant appreciation to God for that sacrifice. For that sacrifice. For the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. Number two, never forget that sacrifice. Never take it for granted. Honor it with your lifestyle. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 19. This is what he says. Listen. Just listen carefully as these guys prepare themselves. It says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, which died at the cross. But as he who called you is holy, you also need to be holy in your conduct. Verse 16, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17, and if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear. Conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your life, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, in the name of Jesus. If you are in this place or you're online and you have been struggling with old passions, they have been wrapped around your hand, around your life, shake them off this morning. Shake them off this afternoon. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This is how, ladies and gentlemen, we must honor the resurrection. By living our lives circumspectly. Not adhering to the passions of the old. That body that was destroyed at the cross. But we must adhere to the newness of life that emanates from our being planted with Jesus Christ and risen with him when he became our substitute and paid our ransom and died at the cross. We cannot forget that. We must always remember that. Take it away, guys. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you for purchasing us and redeeming us, my Father God. Thank you, King of Kings, for your greatness. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord of Glory. Begin to bless him. Begin to pray in tongues wherever you are. Mande rebo shikara.
The body, the wine, your blood, sweet communion, you set up. Than the bread, your body, than the wine, your blood. Oh,
we will remember.
Oh, just to get me closer than I've ever been.
Oh, we will remember.
Brought me back to life. Before resurrection, there was a grave. In hell, there was a battle.
We'll remember. Oh,
Jesus to know you when you're suffering, just to get me close.
Remember.
Oh, Jesus, we will remember what you did for us.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time,